David, what would you like to say?
Hi, James.
Hello.
Yeah, I agree, because I can't believe that the papers and the media get so involved when we think the likes of Janet. I was abused when I was seven, but, you know, it was many years ago now, 1952. I'm 70 now. But I was 7 years of age and abused by an elderly man and a younger man of 20 who lived locally. And I didn't say anything to anyone. There was no child line. There was nothing in those days. Yeah. I never told my mum and dad, and I never told a friend. And the only way, when I say I got through it, I've got to be honest, a year or so later, my mum and dad separated only for a short while. And we left Liverpool, me and my sister, came over the River Mersey onto the Wirral with relatives. And it was just a relief. And it was wonderful that I was away from what happened. A couple of years later, my mum came back with my dad, and we came back as well, my sister and I. And I was terrified 2 years on, but the individual had moved and wasn't around anymore. And as you grow up, as kids, I think kids are strong and resilient. The only thing that really affected me was 10 years later at 17. I had a kid brother then, seven. He wasn't alive when I was abused. Yeah. I found out my mum was dying in her late 40s of cancer, and we nursed her at home for quite a while. And I used to do things through the night because Dad was on night work. Me and my brother, we used to get my mum up, you know, give her medication, a morphine on the commode and everything. And used to sit there with her. And I thought, you can't die. You don't know what happened to me when I was a kid. And I made a decision. I thought, I really wanted to tell her, but I couldn't. She was moved to a hospice not long after. Because I thought, if I tell her what happened to me 10 years ago as a kid, How can I send her to a grave knowing that that's going to be
in her
heart?
Bless you.
So I decided I wasn't going to say anything. But it was 44 years later at 51. I lost my job through illness. I was off a year. I'd never been unemployed since 1960 when I had when I left school at 15. I lost everything, and I was under the hospital, Royal Liverpool Hospital, and I ended up from a good salary to about £40 a week or something in incapacity benefit. Mm-hmm. I'd never claimed benefit in my life before. But when I had a nervous breakdown at that time, losing my job, my illness and everything, my sisters looked after me, and because I've lived on my own most of my life. And the thing that came, it was just one night when I was trying to sleep, and it just, my illness and a depression, it triggered everything off again when I was a child of seven. And in the end, I told my kid brother first, and he wasn't born when it happened to me, and it devastated him. And I felt sorry that, you know, I told him he wasn't, and he was wonderful, and we talked about it, and then talked to my sisters, and I've spoken to a couple of friends. But when I hear now of most of these people who are being found guilty, you know, and they are guilty, sometimes I think to myself, I sort of light up, you know, because I say, even at 17 hours, say, oh, great, there's no hiding place for these people anymore. And all these things that are coming out over the years, you know, I get upset when I hear of some child.
Of course you do.
And they're found dead. I survived, James. That's how my brother used to say to me. He got hold of me one day and he said, listen, kid, he said, many kids don't survive. People shut them up. You know, they're murdered, and we have seen kids murdered. He said to me, you're a survivor, and that's what I am. I'm a survivor.
You certainly are, David. Mate, how am I going to carry on with this programme now?
It's surprising, really, but I think it helped when my mum and dad separated, because if it had gone on and on...
You got away from
it. I don't know how I would have... I ended up in a children's home for a short while with being a nervous kid, but I was in that home for a month and no one knew. The doctor said to my mum, he's always been a nervous child. So it was like being punished twice. I had no contact with my family. They take you to a children's home, like a convalescent home, and we could write to our mums and dads, but we couldn't receive letters back. But I mean this, when I heard of these, even at 70, I think, oh, isn't it great? Well, even stars, no hiding place.
And that is what I meant a moment ago. But I'm going to have to pull myself together, David. You understand that? I've got to crack on with the show, even though I've taught you all day. But that's what I meant when I said the world has changed, hasn't it? From when not enough, not completely, but from when you were a little lad, age 7, the world is different now. Bernardo's, I don't know if you saw it, reported on Monday that the number of children finding the courage to come forward is going through the roof.
Yeah. Do you know what I decided, though, James?
Tell me.
My mum died, our kid was 7, and it brought a lot of joy into our lives. And I thought to myself, when my mum died, I made a promise. I didn't make a promise verbally to her, but in my heart I said, he's 7. He's going to be okay. No one's going to hurt him like they hurt me, because I'll be there for him. There was no one there for me. And that's what I hopefully did.
I think you clearly did. David, I'm so sorry that you were in such a position to make such a powerful contribution to this programme, but that is why we're having this conversation. I do not... Can you even begin to answer the question of why people get angry? You open your newspaper today, shambolic VIP, child sex abuse inquiry to close, and then a list of men who went to their graves without ever facing justice.
Yeah.
Can you make sense of it? Because I can't.
No. Well, my brother said, when he knew, he said, right, because I'm not on the internet or all this. I've just got the landline phone. And but he checked. I only knew the person's first name because he was... it wasn't a milkman, so the only other person that goes round the street is the postman, so that's who he was.
Yeah.
And we never... My brother... I didn't know his surname, but my brother knew... We knew the surname of the other chap because he lived just 4 or 5 doors from us, but he got nothing up. And I was glad because I don't know what he would have done, and I didn't want him to do anything like that.
To ruin his own life by seeking some sort of vengeance or justice for what that person did to you. Dave, will you make me a promise?
To me mum and...
I know, to the whole family, to every... Will you make me a promise?
Go on.
Will you give me a ring on a completely different subject at some point in the next few weeks so that we can have a laugh together?
I'm sorry.
Promise me that, mate.
I will do.
Because you sound like an incredible gentleman.
Okay, mate. Thanks very much, anyway.
Thank me for anything. And that's why I just don't understand it. You open a newspaper today and you turn on your telly or your radio and they're getting crosser about a false accusation than they are about men like the one who abused him going to their graves unpunished. I cannot on any level understand why. Why do they do it? And then they write at the end of their columns, oh, and Jimmy Savile is still dead. You listen to that man and you tell me that the death of his abuser would have had any dilution or diminishment of the impact of that abuse upon his life. And then these fat middle-aged men writing their stupid newspaper columns seem to suggest that because one person has come forward and turned out possibly not to be telling the truth, we should once again start disbelieving men like David and every other one lighting up my switchboard now. Why? Up after the news.